And now it's Professor Kevin Cope, the president of the LSU Faculty Senate for 9.5 years. He arrived at Louisiana State University in the year of 1983, and I'm sure you remember that as though it were yesterday.
I cannot forget it. I arrived in a big yellow moving van, driving myself across the Pearl River Basin, had never seen any sight like this, thought I was entering a science fiction movie set.
And all these years later, some 34 almost, you're at LSU, and you come this way from various other parts of the country, PhD from Harvard, and grew up in San Diego. How did a kid from San Diego who went to Harvard end up spending a career at the old war school?
Of course, in other parts of the country, Louisiana has kind of an exotic appeal. And to be frank, at the time, Louisiana was riding high. It was actually on the lead in terms of the growth of American universities and made me a very good offer. I had a couple of other offers, one from Arkansas and one from Maine. Maine seemed a little chilly and out of the way up there in the far corner. And Arkansas, well, what can one say about such a place? So I determined that it was Louisiana that was for me.
Well, I think most people are glad you're here, but as faculty senate president, you haven't been a wallflower by any means. And I see on your website you actually have the president of the university under faculty senate for the censure for the last 545 days. What is going on?
That is true, and I want to stress that King Alexander is not such a bad guy, and he does many fine things for the university. Unfortunately, he finds himself in a position that's characteristic of that for most university presidents, or at least public university presidents. He's so dominated by the political conditions, the board of supervisors who are political appointees, that he's often unable to do what he knows is right or what he thinks is best. So you might say, well, keeping the ship afloat and trying to navigate these shallow waters, that's the right thing to do. Maybe it is, but his situation as being under faculty senate censure points up some of the problems we face in public education.
877-217-5757 is your number, and if you're dialing in Baton Rouge, 297-5633, and talk at talklouisiana.org. And there are many things going on right now independent of the censure of the president. And this emanates from a discipline of one of your colleagues, correct?
Yeah, well, that's the initial condition for the censure. Then, of course, we were very concerned in the faculty senate about a variety of issues ranging from the abuse and the extension of Title IX, that's the federal law that governs gender discrimination in institutions, all of the way up to the process by which disciplinary actions are handled. So it's a complicated business, but yes, you're right. It was that one stellar case that triggered this whole cascade of events.
And Kevin Cope, you have to deal right now with budget cuts, as does the president, and I'm sure it hasn't been pleasant. Right now it's hard to keep faculty, but many, of course, stay at LSU, as you have for 34 years or more, but others leave for greener pastures or greener wallets. How difficult is it with the budget cuts that have been part of the fabric of the university now for about a decade?
Sure. As far as faculty retention goes, the situation is abysmal. In the last 2 or 3 years, I believe the numbers are that the faculty has shrunk from about 1,425 full-time people to somewhere in the vicinity of 1,200. The university is hiring new people, but it should be noted that most of the people who are hired afresh are beginners. Nothing wrong with being a beginner. I was one once. Maybe you were too, although you've got the air of experience around you at all times. But on the other hand, they're not tried and true commodities, and this shows an overall decrease in the capacity of the university. So we're in a situation where the people of Louisiana need to decide what they want. Do they want a premier institution, or do they just want to maintain their position, or do they want to sink?
Well, it's not the most pleasant time on campus. How is morale among your colleagues, of which you govern as the faculty senate president?
I will say that at the present, morale bottomed out maybe 6 months ago. At that point, when it was determined that there wouldn't be any raise for the faculty and that there was no clear solution to the budget problems on the horizon, a lot of people just plain gave up, to the point where now they don't even get upset because they don't want to bother getting upset. On the other hand, there now is a little bit of cautious optimism that at some point in the future, the governor and perhaps the politicians too will deliver, and we might start to see some upturn in the university. The day-to-day management, the provost office at LSU is making a real effort to try to make the best of the situation. So it looks like we've got some possibilities before us. Still got to turn those possibilities into reality.
Now, in the U.S. News and World Report rankings, LSU is near the bottom of the Southeastern Conference, still ahead of most public universities, but not where LSU once was. Have the budget cuts had an effect on the quality of education at the Old War School?
Sure. With regard to the rankings, of course, I would caution that you should look at those U.S. NWR ratings with a blinking eye, because there are a lot of elements in them, like the perception of the university by other university presidents, that are, shall we say, impressionistic at best. Nevertheless, that does count in terms of getting the attention of people who make donations, of in terms of getting students to come to the university, in terms of getting contracts to do research that's heavily funded, promotes prosperity in Louisiana. So it is unfortunate that we slipped to that point. With regard to education in the university, well, you can't miss the fact that the campus is in bad repair, that courses are being reduced, if not eliminated, and that also statewide, because it's not only LSU, the number of options for Louisiana's youth and also for Louisiana's geriatrics like you and I, Jim, those are going down in number.
Well, you are turning 60 next week. This is a milestone, and is this where you're going to culminate your career? Is this the stopping point?
I hope I'm not at the end yet. You know, there's something nice about 60. You often see 60-40, that is 60% talent, 40% enthusiasm, that kind of thing. So maybe I'm reaching that barrier as well. Of course, 60 is a nice round number, and I can say I've outlived certain people. I've outlived Shakespeare. I've outlived Cardinal Richelieu. But remember Pope John Paul II, when he was 58 and a half and elected to the head of the Vatican, was declared a young man with many, many years of achievement in front of him.
Well, at 59 and almost 60, you've outlived Martin Luther King by more than 20 years. He died 1968. What was it, 49 years ago today, he was assassinated in Memphis. And that puts it in perspective. But you've done a lot at Louisiana State University, and you, like many others, I'm sure, have had options beyond those when you first came here. Why have you stayed?
I've stayed in part because I have actually been treated relatively well by the university. That is, I've had a lot of opportunities to travel, to carry research hither and yon. And indeed, the last 10 years of my life, or 9 and a half, let's say, as faculty senate president, have, although been laced with difficulty, also been some of the most stimulating, exciting, and completely unimaginable experiences that anyone can have. So it's been a lot of fun to get to this point.
We're hearing the distinctive voice of Professor Kevin Cope. He is Faculty Senate President of Louisiana State University. And once again, if you would like to give us a call, your input is invited at 877-217-5757, toll-free wherever you are. And if you're in Baton Rouge, the local dialing number is 297-5633, and email talk@talklouisiana.org. For Kevin Cope, who has toiled in the vineyards for almost 1983, not 80 years, but 34 years. That's a long time, but through the years, I've interviewed people like Carl Reuter and many others who have been at LSU longer than you. What is it is an attraction despite the occasional budget issues and other political endeavors that are seemingly part of the LSU experience?
You're asking me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, the LSU experience is very extensive. We have a concept, the comprehensive university, and this means that at least in theory, maybe not in practice, but at least in theory, the university covers all lines of human activity. So you think, for example, you can go out to the College of Music and Dramatic Arts almost any night of the week and see a top quality performance, either by a promising youngster or a seasoned professional. You can wander the campus and see one of the most picturesque venues in the United States. You can, of course, engage with some of the cleverest visitors that we have in America.
Chrissy at LSU. Good morning, Chrissy. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I'm actually currently a postdoc at LSU, and I just was thinking specifically about one of the comments your speaker made about how, you know, you struggle with faculty retention and you tend to bring on a lot of younger faculty members. Well, my experience as a postdoc, which I got my PhD back in 2013, is that a lot of our younger faculty hires are actually coming in with so much more experience simply because these jobs are so few and far between to come by, that, you know, they're bringing a wealth of experience and a wealth of ideas, even though they don't necessarily have faculty experience per se when they're coming into universities. And at least in my department, we're seeing that it is these younger people who are revitalizing the department. You know, a lot of the older faculty, as they retire or get closer to retirement, I mean, they just, I don't want to say they don't care, but they're losing a lot of steam. And it's the younger faculty who are coming in that are just completely revitalizing our department on campus. So, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing bringing in new blood, especially some of these younger professors, because they've got really great ideas and a lot of enthusiasm as well.
Dr. Cope, are you losing steam?
I don't think that the locomotive is completely ventilated yet, but let's see if I make it to Petticoat Junction. Nevertheless, that's an allusion to vintage television, as our caller may not remember those days. But at any rate, there is a certain amount of truth in what Chrissy says. That is, it's always important to replenish a department and to create a new generation. At the same time, you have to think of the university in different frames. One of those is exactly what she said, which is the future of the university, but also its reception and its standing in the profession as it stands now. And that, of course, is governed largely by seniority and experience. The only area in which I would disagree is with a creeping suggestion that the old are somehow depleted and the young are always new and energetic, and that is further animated by the notion that they are enthusiastic. We as an American culture are committed to enthusiasm, have been since the time of the Salem witch trials, which are a perfect example of enthusiasm. What we need to develop in this nation, as well as enthusiasm, is reason and skill, and that is something that experience dictates as well.
Thank you, Chrissy. 297-5633 is your number, and talk at talklouisiana.org. If you're outside the area, you can dial 877-217-5757 toll-free. A listener asked about today's top story in The Advocate, bills to toughen tops rules proposed, opposition mounting. The bills from Franklin Foyle and Gene Reynolds would make it 3.0 as a requirement as opposed to a 2.5 right now. Is that a fair adjustment, or is that something that is unacceptable?
It's very seldom that I find myself lining up with people so far to the right side of the aisle as Franklin Foyle. Nevertheless, I think that this is correct for any number of reasons, because in the background of this, there are lots of issues. One is, of course, the question of the rigor of public education in Louisiana. The K-12 teaching cadre, the people who man and woman the classrooms day in and day out, they are first-rate and dedicated, but the conditions under which they work are so poor that, of course, the status of Louisiana public education is diminishing. And until that improves, we're going to have to tighten up those standards or everybody will be funded. There's also the question as to whether people should be drawn into college by merit or by financial status or something else. It's an open question. And finally, there's the question as to whether tuition is really the best way to finance public education. Once you start charging people a lot of tuition in a public institution which belongs to the people, you're instantly going to get demands to discount that tuition and to open the doors more fully. And of course, we've got a land-grant, public, populist attitude in this state that leads to the further liberalization of TOPS. My last point is, I have never been a great fan of TOPS. It is paying for the universities, don't miss that. But when you give so much authority to a private body like the Taylor Foundation, you are crossing the line and taking much of the public interest out of public supervision.
Well, this year, as we know, the TOPS benefits have been curtailed. Has that affected anything right now on campus? It seems enrollment has stayed rather constant, but how does it look down the line?
I think in the long term, of course, it is going to have an effect. And first, it seemed that there was going to be a dip in enrollment. And on an anecdotal basis, as somebody who teaches there day in and day out, it seems to me that there are fewer people around, even in the lower population spring semester, than there usually are. Nevertheless, we're holding the line right now. But in the future, there are going to be some other factors. As we continue to privatize the public university, the tuition and the fees are likely to go up. That's probably a good thing because we need an expensive university, but that's going to draw a public reaction, something that we need to plan for and think about.
Your number is 877-217-5757. There is still time to talk with Kevin Cope, the LSU Faculty Senate President, and a man who has been around the block at the old War School for 34 years. A listener notes that he heard you say a little while ago that the faculty has fallen from 1425 to 1200. Is that correct?
That's approximate. Those figures are maybe 2 or 3 months old.
Well, he wants to know what's happened to with instruction with 225 fewer professors on campus.
Well, there are a couple of things that happen. That is, the classes get larger, and when they get larger, they become less numerous, and that means the scheduling is more difficult for students. One consequence of that is that it becomes more difficult for students to graduate on time because you have to take a lot of courses in specific sequences, and if you can't work it out in a schedule, then you have to stay longer. That means that some people go beyond the TOPS allocation.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Good morning, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim, and thank you so much for being on this time slot again. My question is even dating myself, but in the 70s when I went to college, it was a lot more affordable. I think I remember prices being in the range of like $300 to $500 a semester to attend UNO in New Orleans. Why is it now so much more expensive? I mean, were there other entities that were paying into the school system so that it was a lot more affordable than it is now?
Sure. The number one reason, unfortunately, is the decisions of the voters. That is, Louisiana has sustained the largest proportional reduction in public funding in American educational history. That is extraordinary that we should go to the top of that list, being a relatively small and somewhat out of the way state. That results directly from the choices that the electorate makes in choosing legislators and governors. Under the Jindal administration, the budget was devastated. We have 8 years of decline. This was supposedly in order to reduce taxes and get away from levies on the people. But of course, it has produced gigantic fees on those same people, which in my book is another word for tax.
This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana on 89.3 WRKF. Our guest for a bit longer is Dr. Kevin Cope, PhD from Harvard University, and he has been at Louisiana State University for 34 years, 9.5. He's been head of the Faculty Senate, and he is here to talk about what's happening at LSU and beyond. And were you exaggerating a little earlier when you said that under Bobby Jindal, the cuts to LSU were the most extreme in the history of mankind?
Oh, I didn't say the history of mankind because I'm not quite old enough, despite the earlier caller, to remember back to the time of the Flintstones. Nevertheless, it is in relation to the size of the population, the largest single cut collectively over all of those years in the history of American higher education. And that is extraordinary for Louisiana.
All right. Well, a reminder that when you donate during our spring drive, you're automatically entered into the Cuba giveaway. Winner and a guest receive 8 days and 7 nights in Havana, and you'll be along with other public radio listeners and the WRKF Travel Club. I want to know more about this travel club. Airfare and hotel accommodations included. The trip valued at over $8,000. Donate now. WRKF.org on the web or call at 855-893-WRKF. You call us at 297-5633 or 877-217-5757. David at LSU, you are on Talk Louisiana with Professor Kevin Cope. Hi, David.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine.
Hi. I've been a Louisiana resident for about 2 years now. I moved here after the military, and I was absolutely raptured with the area down here. So I'm staff at LSU. And it's kind of one of these circular arguments that other callers have probably brought up, that we have a lot of flight from Louisiana, and there's a wonderful culture down here and everything else, but what do you see can be done more broadly in Louisiana, as well as LSU, to attract people to come down here? Because that's what did it for me. I understood that I was going into an area where it's not like certain states up north that have stronger economies and don't struggle as much as Louisiana does in the same areas, but basically, what can we do beyond culture and just the niceties of Louisiana to bring people to our state and our university?
That's an excellent question, because we have lost any number of both educational and industrial opportunities owing to the inadequate promotion of our culture. Culture is a very inexpensive thing. In the university world, there are several institutions, for example, that have made a big hit both for their communities and for themselves by funding initiatives that are fairly economical in the humanities, in the arts, in music, you name it. And I think this is one thing that we need to do is buck up the general quality of life and use the resources, including the university resources and the university faculty, to create more of a public space. Take a look around Louisiana. Drive any of the roads just outside the central area. You'll see litter everywhere. Well, you might say that's a practical problem, but it's also an intellectual problem, because there's not that strain in the culture that makes people want to clean up their space. Go downtown and ask yourself, well, why is it that we have wonderful events immediately, but so infrequently? Why is it that it's so hard to park at the Manship Center? All of these factors are contributors to the impression in the outside world that this is not the place where you want to go. We also need to do something to encourage dissent, and there the university is guilty. We don't have a big culture of contrary viewpoints, whatever they might be in Louisiana. And until all of our institutions, let's not just pick on LSU, let's talk about UL Monroe, and let's talk about Nicholls State, until they start sponsoring some events that can generate some excitement and show an embrace of variety of opinion, diversity of lifestyle, etc., we're not going to get anywhere, because the people are up north or out west are still going to think that this is a hick place that's characterized by its exclusivity.
Do you sense that other universities are having similar problems as LSU in the state, perhaps even more pronounced?
That is certainly true, because the impact of the budget problems, as well as these other cultural problems that the callers have been talking about, affect disproportionately the smaller universities. It's bad enough that you get, say, a 38% overall cut over the course of 8 years at a big institution like LSU, but at least LSU has some other options. It's got contracted research. It's got satellite institutions that can buffer that jolt just a little bit. If you're at a small place like McNeese or an even smaller place like Fletcher Community College, and you get that big of a wallop, you're probably on the brink of being out of business. And I want to say here that although we hear a lot of people saying we've got too many bricks and mortar institutions, if that's so, why is it that we have such an undereducated populace? We probably need more institutions and more support for them rather than fewer.
How is your department, the English department, doing?
Well, it's floating along. There are some good people in it, but the fundamental problem there is that we don't have a strong commitment in Louisiana or higher education to general education. The humanities, the liberal arts, they're buoyed up by the requirement that a person study a vast range of topics other than what it takes to get a job and work at the refinery on the night shift and go home and buy a lot of stuff at a big box store. Until we can buck up general education and also outreach education, that is, courses available for people who want to have a broader view of the world who might not be traditional college students, again, we're not going to get anywhere without that.
What do you think of the influence on athletics at Tigertown?
Athletics has lost its way, and I know that you're a great fan and a journalist in the area of athletics. However, I think we have to ask, is athletics promoting its own mission? And I think the answer is no. It does better in the small sports, in softball and in lacrosse and that kind of thing. But when it comes to football, if the goal of athletics is to build character and to include people who have a strong mind and a strong body and who have many different walks of life, it's an utter failure, because what is a football game? It's a kind of freak show genetic engineering and pageant of exclusivity all put together. If that were not the case, we would see King Alexander himself slapping on the pads, taking a few downs, getting sacked, and going off and saying, "My gosh, my character has been built by that slammer."
Do you go to the games?
I have gone to the games in the past. That is, I haven't gotten many tickets lately. You know, faculty senate president occasionally gets a freebie. I'll admit that I've in the past been on the line with the athletic department. But lately, I just haven't had time to, because I've had too many other crises to deal with in our blessed state.
Well, it is always good to visit with you, Professor Kevin Cope, who stayed the course for 34 years at LSU, Faculty Senate President for almost a decade. What will the anniversary be?
The anniversary of my employment at LSU.
Oh, and I know that one. That's August 18th, right?
Anniversary of the Faculty Senate election. That'll be up in August as well, because all our terms run August to August.
Okay. Looks like they need to update your webpage at the Department of English, though.
No, I'm just trying to hold a golden frozen moment there.
Well, thanks for joining us. And
thank you, Jim.
We appreciate your candor, Dr. Kevin.
A pleasure.
Cope.